Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let's spend a few minutes praying in the spirit.
Thank you.
on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning. We worship you this morning, Lord. We praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. We have a heart of thanksgiving, gratefulness this morning for what God has done. I found a prophecy. Y'all ain't gonna believe this. I found it this morning. And you're gonna be surprised who gave this to me. Listen to this. Knowing what happened last night, listen to this.
They will be damned. The Lord raised you up in your nation as a voice, and so he separated you unto himself for 21 years. And he has kept you in such a place and hid you so that you will understand that nothing will separate you from his love. Because things that would have taken your heart and would have unfolded now, you are no longer distracted. You are totally sold out for him. And as you have written the books to touch the world, so the Lord has taken note of your obedience. And he has sent me this night to speak and to affirm the works that you have done in his name. And he says that you have your reward. And those who will not hear you, they will lament and they will cry. They will seek me, but they shall not find me. And the Lord has said that which as you have traveled and you have driven and you have sat on the roads and you have sang, but they would not respond. You have piped unto them, Bakyo Suran Kashaya. You have piped, but they will not hear. And the Lord says, because they would not hear, they will die in their transgression. But those that hear and believe, the Lord says, he will bring them into his place. And he said, I have seen when you cried and you lamented, as you fasted and you prayed and you turned on your plate. And the Lord said, I heard your tears for your family. And if they will hear you, I will rescue them in this time. And the Lord said, I will not withhold my goodness from you. He said, the sacrifices that you've made and the financial sacrifices that you have in investing in others and helping others, the Lord said, I have seen the good work of your hand. And my daughter, this day have I remembered you, and I have made a promise to you that I will not leave you comfortless. But as Rahab received a covenant, so I've made a covenant with you and your household that they will be saved, saith the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Can you believe that one? I mean, that was given back in 2021. I'm like, wow. You know, because now it's been, I interviewed him about this time of year back in 2021. And now it is 3 years later. And I finished my mission. Y'all just don't know how good I feel to have that burden lifted and to have finished that, because it was very hard, but it was very rewarding. And I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do in the future. And I'm very thankful that Dennis was with me last night. What a blessing, because I was not expecting him to be there. You know, I've got to where now I don't expect him to be with me at all, because he's, you know, so busy in what he's doing and everything, and I don't want to bother him. But he knew how important last night was to us as a couple and to me as a woman, you know, that has been serving God in that one vision, you know, ever since 2005. You know, is when that vision was born. And so it's been a long road, but to have him there with me last night, all of the people, I had a, you know, a big audience last night, which really warmed my heart, because people wanted to hear what I had to say. And I'm just so very humbled by that. Very proud of Cray Cray. Just got to say. She's not on here this morning, but she stepped up and moderated for me last night. She used to be my moderator, and she did a really good job. And it was just really beautiful. And I'm uploading the video now. I was telling all them guys that I found a website that I can have my own, like, YouTube channel for only $250 a month. And I told him, I said, look, you know, if y'all would just donate $25 a piece, you know, and just set it in your heart, you know, this way I can post my videos on there and not have YouTube take them down. And I can also do live streaming on there. So I'm uploading last night's on there now because everybody was wanting to share it. They're wanting to share this. So this is much better than having like a Rumble or on somebody else's site, because I read their terms and agreements. And what they do whenever you use their site is they tell you that they have all rights to your material, to your content, and they can use it and sell it the way that they want to. And, you know, with me having my own channel, this way nobody can control me. You know, I can be free willy. I can make stuff private if I want to, you know. So I'm uploading it on there, and that way y'all can share it, because I'm going to tell you, last night, I spoke some very hard truths about the vaccine and about the Mark of the Beast, very controversial stuff, and that's why I had to delete it immediately, and with President Trump and his team. So, the Lord gave me a dream this morning, and he gave me a warning. So, I'm going to ask you guys if you would please pray for me. I'm not scared or anything, but he did warn me that witches have plotted against me since last night. I'm not even going to tell you about the dream, because I'm not going to speak death over my family, but it's very serious. And, so this morning I told Dennis, you know, and we prayed over the farm and our animals. So I'm asking you guys to pray for me against retaliation for what I did last night. And, you know, it is what it is, because we are in warfare. And I even told you guys last night that I knew what I would say, you know, is going to be very costly. But one thing that Dennis was telling you guys last night is, I told Dennis yesterday, I said, man, I'll be so glad to not be doing this anymore, because of the price that I had paid with my family and neighbors and, you know, trying to have relationships in the community, and they just don't work. You know, it's so much easier just doing just ministry, you know. But I do want to say, though, I do want to feel free to be me, you know, because like on Patreon, I posted about 4 or 5 articles this morning with my opinion. I still would like to do that. I just don't want to do the news. I don't want to go in there anymore and dig my head in the research. We already know, you know, but I do want to kind of keep an eye on things and just, you know, the surface. I don't want to go deep is what I'm trying to say. And share the articles until the first of the year, but it will come down then, because the new, you know, starts in January. But anyways, so I will get that posted today where this video is, so that you can share it with your family and, you know, have it for your records and whatnot. And so there you go. So I'm excited about that. Now, I was going to ask you guys something. You know, next week is Thanksgiving. And I know I said I was going to go on vacation. I do want to go on vacation, as far as I need a break. But on the prayer calls, if y'all would grant me permission, I would like to, you know, do Monday through Wednesday, not do Thursday because it's Thanksgiving or Friday, but do it to where I don't open up the lines, but where I can just go on there and do it and get off type of deal. But if not, then I can do Monday and Tuesday and then just let y'all be free willy on Wednesday type of deal. But this way, you know, I would have the rest of the day. And so when I open up the lines today, if you would just give me your opinion, that would be great. So last night I saw a lot of older people as well that used to be with me, you know, come back to listen to my final words. That was really nice. And I just want y'all to know I did put my neck out there, boy, with my insight into the future. And it, because it sounds so different than what President Trump is presenting. I mean, it's directly opposite. And I want to go down this road just a second. I actually shared this on Patreon this morning about a guy that I've already warned you guys about. He's a what I call the freedom farce, which means they are deceptive. You know, they're the ones working with the NAR and the New Age doctors and this New Age Jesus, this utopia that they're building. This guy wrote an article that gave a perfect eyesight into that world and what they are planning. So I would like for you guys to read it. Let me look it up here. Okay. I put on here, I said, this is a great visual of the golden era that this New Age Jesus is planning. Because in their world, it is Jesara and Nasara. It is the questionable characters' deception since 2016 is now coming to pass. And it's really, really sad because they're painting this picture that we are going into the greatest revival this world has ever seen. I mean, and then with, you know, President Trump going to be doing the dancing in the streets for the next year, starting in May. I mean, it's going to be a debacle. Just trying to, for us as Christians, you know, trying to stay out of this delusion. Because remember that when you go to places, you are giving your stamp of approval on that place. Okay? If you show up at a rally, okay, let's say that they're having some type of, you know, Reawaken America tour. There you go. And you go to this rally because you say, oh, I just want to go because, you know, my family's pressuring me to go. So I just want to, you know, just kind of do what everybody else is doing. Well, when you get out there, here's something that all of you need to think about. It's called the power of agreement. When you show up at these things, you are giving the impression it's all about the perception of others, not what you think about it, but what are others, what if they look at what you're doing, what are they thinking about what you're doing? So in their mind, you are giving a stamp of approval upon this event because you are there and you are participating. Thus, it must be okay. And I gave the analogy, you know, of a preacher in a bar. You know, I've seen revivalists. They're really bad about this. Oh, I go to bars on the weekend, you know, and I go in there and I witness to people and I tell them about Jesus. I'm like, really? I mean, really now? You know, these people are drinking and intoxicated. And that, you know, place allows you to be in there with all these women with their boobs hanging out and everything, you know. These are men, of course. But anyway, what is the image that is being put forth, even though in his mind he's justified why he's going in there every weekend. But to an alcoholic that is going to your church because they're bound up by this spirit and don't know how to get out of this spirit, and then they see you over there laughing with people and carrying on, you know, it's giving a message. It's the perception to this alcoholic that it must be okay for me to be there. You know, you're giving your stamp of approval. When you look at the Old Testament, you can read story after story where this applies. One of them that comes to my spirit right now is Korah. Now, Korah is the one that came against Moses. Korah talked about Moses, was mad, like, who do you think you are, Moses? You know, telling us what to do. Why did God choose you? Blah, blah, blah. So, Korah formed this posse of people against Moses. So then Moses went to God about it. You know, if you can picture the tabernacle, which when we start Bible college, we're going to delve in the tabernacle. It's going to be awesome. But when if you can picture, just say, a big tent, and then you have the outer courts. Okay, so in the outer courts is where you see Korah and a few of his posse. Well, then you got Moses standing there in the outer courts. So then they're complaining to Moses, who do you think you are? Yada, yada. So Moses goes through all these layers to get to the inner court. In the inner court, the Holy of Holies is where God is, okay? So he goes and tells God what these people are doing out here. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God gets so mad. He comes out to the outer courts. Now, when you study the tabernacle, I got chills right now thinking about it. Woo! When you study the tabernacle, you realize if God comes out of that Holy of Holies, somebody is going to die. There is going to be a price to be paid because God is holy. He's holy. He cannot be around sin. See, the outer courts is where the sin is. Because this is how they had to sacrifice animals, was in that little outer court there. So he's coming out around sin, so there's somebody's going to pay a price. So anyway, he comes out there and he gives judgment to Korah. And he tells Korah, he said, you know what? You messed with my man. You questioning who I'm putting in authority. So I tell you what I'm going to do, Korah. The earth is going to swallow you up alive. And that's what happened. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and that little posse right there all the way down to hell. They went to hell alive. Now, that if that's not creepy, what about this? When you have the tabernacle, you have all, it's like a center tent. And you have all these tribes. Now, the only one that's in this tent are the Levites, okay? You have all the other tribes are like in a circle around this tent, okay? And the reason the Levites were in the middle is because they took care of God. They were the ambassador of God to God from the people and then from God back to the people. So, whenever Korah got judged by God and was swallowed alive down into hell, every person that was in agreement with Korah complaining about God's man went down into hell alive. This is what the power of agreement is. So when you go to an event where they are doing this New Age Jesus debacle or whatever, wherever you go is a stamp of approval on that speaker, event, and you're giving the perception that you are in agreement with what they're doing. And you will be held accountable for it. It's very serious. Because, see, this is where God says, come out from among them, be ye holy. Because we are his people. See, this is where right now the rubber's meeting the road. Because the two different visions that are going forth, like that word that I just read to you or let you hear that Kevin gave me, okay? The vision that they are giving of this utopia golden era is in total opposition of what's really happening. But, you know, to the people that are not seeing the forest for the trees, they're going to see that as the reality. It's really sad. It's really diabolical. So let me read you just a little bit about what this Freedom Forest guy that does this Stop World Control website is saying about this golden era coming. We are about to embark on a mission to bring America back to God and his truth, love, justice, and hope. We invite you to be a part of this historic movement of unprecedented revival and transformation. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the most important time of all human history, and I don't say that lightly. It's my profound conviction that we are experiencing the shift from a world ruled by evil to a mankind under the reign of goodness. A transformation from darkness to light. This is the ultimate shift of all mankind. Listen, that's a big statement. That mankind has been looking for since the dawn of time. Look at this. A whole new era will emerge where humanity will no longer be slave of evil entities, but where the good people will restore everything, bringing light into the darkness. Now, if that doesn't sound, wow, that would just be so totally awesome, you know? If we could have a world like this where we just rid the world of all evil and you know, we have this great utopia. Well, here's the thing. And I've said this before and I'm saying it again. Okay. This ridding of this evil is not what you think it is. It is the ridding of true Christians. Because what is happening right now with this great awakening, and I didn't want to turn this in the news, but I'm giving you a picture. This great awakening versus the great reset, all that is them saying the snake is biting the tail. We're the better of the evil. That's what's happening. But if the real church does not stand up and be ye separate, and say, we are not touching the unclean thing and revealing who the real Jesus is. How can we do that if we're celebrating with them for this new age utopia? How are we showing who the real Jesus is? When we're in the streets with these people and we're participating in their celebratory ecumenical vomit that they have partnered with President Trump. This is the church. This is the hour that the church is going to have to show who's the real church. This is the true prophets calling out the false prophets. This is exactly what it is. Because God is not in this utopia, you know. But the sad thing is to the world, they're going to make it look like, you know, it's such a great world or whatever. So to sum it up about last night, I am very, very Please, I feel the release of the Lord that I did finish my mission and I made it. I'm so happy that I actually finished it. And so I have peace about it all. I have such a love for my husband. You know, with me and him going forward in a mission together, it's no longer, you know, something that I am finishing that I began before we got married. This is now something that I'm complete. I have completed that mission. And now we're moving into something together, which is actually all of our, you know, final mission in the earth. And so I'm very excited about it. And just like God gave me that dream last night, again, we've been having dreams every night now. And the anointing is increasing. The, you know, the prophetic is increasing. And I expect it to be even more. And, you know, the Lord told me that he's given me a promotion. I'm like, where can I go? I've already been to the White House and the United Nations. Where, oh, where, you know? And then I just thought about it. The best place for my destiny to be is heaven. Lord, take me to heaven. That if I've already seen the best that this world has, I want to see what you have. I want to see our heavenly home. I want to do like Brock. You know, Brock wrote this awesome book called Heaven Awaits Your Expression. Many people have gotten saved over this book. I don't have any more. I wish I did. I'm actually going to see him next week. You know, so maybe I can get some. But that's another reason why, by the way, next week, I may just do just Monday and Tuesday because I forgot about that. I want to travel down to Atlanta to go see my family for Thanksgiving. Dennis has given me permission. But anyway, so in this book, Heaven Awaits Your Expression, you know, this is about... you know, Brock, when he, I'll just read you the introduction. It all started on a Sunday afternoon. It was January 12th of 2020 at our small farm in Grayson, Georgia, just east of the largest city in the Southeast United States, Atlanta. My wife, Laura, and I found ourselves cozied up on the couch on a cold winter day. I can still remember the scene clearly. The room was beautiful. The atmosphere was just how we like it. Peace reigned in the air. It was glowing. Light was reflecting through the room, and the stone wall around the fireplace was facing back at me. So I love the way he writes. Oh, it's so different than me. I'm just so plain. You know, like last night when I was, you know, giving my... prophetic insight and all this stuff. It was just, you know, hey, you know, the vaccine's going to do this to you and it puts this in there. You know, I don't have all these colorful words like Brock does. We were smiling, feeling grateful, and discussing the finer points of why we believe the Christmas tree should stay up all year long. Yes, it was still standing bright in the corner across the way. We just took it in. It was nothing but the sounds of quietness in our ears. We enjoyed the stillness, calm, and respite of the moment. We pulled the blanket over our cold toes and began to thank the Lord for the time. We had just successfully laid our 3-month-old baby down to sleep. We knew the nap would only last for 30 to 45 minutes, and it was everything Laura could do to enjoy the moment before she, too, would drift off into her pregnant comatose. It was all too familiar of a routine. Yes, she was pregnant again, by the way. 3 months after she had that child, she was pregnant again. It was all too familiar of a routine. It was the calm, the moment to reflect, talk, and drift away before it was go time all over again. This day, however, was going to end differently than we expected. There was something bubbling up within me. We were overflowing with the life of God after worshiping the morning at church. We had one of those mornings where we just wept before God. It was a full spirit, soul, mind, and body exertion of energy wholly towards our Heavenly Father that morning. It was an amazing time in worship with fellow believers. We just flowed with the Lord. It was no longer songs being sang by a worship leader. It was the Spirit of God gushing out of everyone. The spontaneous worship from each individual flowing upwards and out of their bellies towards our Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Once we got back to the house after church, we were going through the plans as Laura had to go see her family. First, we had to take care of the girl. That's what they used to call her, the girl. It was funny. Eat, chores on the farm, and Catalina needed a nap. It was a normal Sunday afternoon. Inside of me, though, there was a deep stirring. I knew I was going to get the house to myself later. I could sense the Spirit was wanting that time for him and him alone. As I sat there on the couch with Laura, the same gushing desire was still bubbling up within my soul. I felt like I could just cry at any moment. I just knew the Spirit wanted me to get alone with him. I told Laura, "Babe, I feel like the Lord wants me to just worship him. I feel like he's wanting to say something to us." Laura responded, "Yeah, I feel that too, but I think I'm going to fall asleep." "Ah, you just pray and I'll agree. You lead." I just held her in and smiled. That was expected. She was totally going to be out in 3, 2, and there she goes. She was out. The kind of cold turkey fall asleep as you talk, sort of drifting away, that mothers alone can understand. Limited with my ability to do much with Laura leaning on me, I grabbed the TV remote with my free hand. I navigated through and started some beautiful instrument worship on the Roku TV. I turned the volume up a little more and put the remote down and breathed it in and out. "Father, here I am. Jesus, you're worthy. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my family, Lord. I bless your name. I magnify your name. Jesus, you are holy, holy, holy." Just as I normally would begin my typical time alone with the Lord, it began. I routinely honed in on my senses to become aware of the Holy Spirit. I felt the urge inside. I focused and took my mind off myself, my day, my worries, my list of things to do. I just simply blessed his name, gave him praise, thanked him, and I yielded. Isn't this beautiful? I was feeling the well of living water starting up. I found myself singing louder. It was in English and then in tongues. I was flowing from singing, "Holy, holy is your name," and then back to my prayer language. This was going somewhere. This was when I realized that the Lord has an agenda. I had better get in line because it was happening. I just kept flowing with the Lord. I was singing, then crying. Then my hands were raised. My volume was up. Energy was up. And before you know it, I was standing up. Laura was out on the couch and I was just feet away experiencing his joy, his sweet peace, that warm, powerful love flowing in and out of me. I was in the Spirit. I was in the zone, as some would say. I was in the moment, and my heart was pounding with excitement and expectancy of what the Lord would do or say. So I continued on. Then the voice of the Lord, speaking from within my spirit, loud and clear, whispered inside, "Brock, listen. Listen." I quieted myself, sniffled the snot, and stood still in my living room. The music playing was a piano version of the song, "Let it rain, let it rain." Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. And I distinctly remember it keying the part of the song where it sings, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. The piano played some more. It was the sweetest of moments. It's when you feel that personal intimacy with your King. It's a personal culmination of years of experience worshiping the Lord, knowing when He is near and submitting your mind and soul to Him in that moment. I stayed silent, still. I could hear and feel only my heartbeat. I hear the Lord. Brock. I heard him continue, Brock, get your laptop. Sit down. I want you to write everything you see. Then I was pulled out of the moment. That's right. I heard the baby crying. Laura woke up. It was time to get them ready to head out the family to go to the in-laws. I lovingly helped them get packed up, loaded in the car, and kissed them goodbye for the afternoon. I could not wait to get back in the room with the Lord and continue. So I did all my chores on the farm as fast as I could. I fed the chickens, watered the cows, played with Rocky, worshiped the Lord, and thanked Him for every single bit of time out there. So an hour later, it was not long after, and I was sitting on the couch worshiping the Lord with my laptop and ready to type. That's when it began to flow out of me. I was seeing the start of a vision in my imagination. I felt the Spirit highlight the phrase where it says to have the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, as the Apostle Paul spoke of in Ephesians 1. I could see the Christmas tree still, the stone wall around the fireplace too. Across the open room was the distant wall of windows, with the setting sunlight and the fog of winter being apparent. The light of the Christmas lights glowed still. The music still played. I was still seeing everything in the natural, I was aware. So there I was, sitting there, staring at the Christmas tree, looking at the dazzling lights wrapping the tree, the reflecting ornaments and the stillness it had. I began to center on the light flooding in my imagination. I heard a repeat of what the Lord had spoken to me about 5 minutes ago. He said to me, Brock, I'm flooding the eyes of your imagination with light, referring to Ephesians 1:17-18. 5 minutes of being lost in imagination, I stared at the tree until the light was subtly bringing my attention to the start of a live daydream and vision forming in my spirit. I began to yield to the thought, the imagination, the movie playing. The same faculty of my mind used to play vivid movie like dreams when I'm asleep was now functioning as I sat there. It was as if I had an inner remote to play, pause, and slow it down if need be. I sensed it coming. I was getting used to this inward media player. I let the video start. I knew a vision was before my mind's eyes. It was a bit like the days when you were in school and the teacher was talking on and on, but you were in a distant la-la land inside your mind's imagination. You were playing the drama out in your mind so much so that your heart rate went up. You jumped when the bad guy came at you, and you reflexively moved your arms. Then you realized the teacher was calling your name. You snap out of it and try to come back to earth and reality. We have all experienced daydreaming. That's basically the simplest way to describe a vision. You can have a vision of the night when you sleep, also called a dream, or you can have a vision in the day. Some call it daydreaming. I was having a spirit-inspired day vision. If you've ever operated in the prophetic and allow the Lord to use you to speak an inspired word to another person, then you may have experienced seeing a picture, an idea, or having a knowing about something you are to tell the receiving person. This is the same operation by the Spirit. He speaks to you in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:24, and uses your imagination as the movie screen to show you something he is saying. Jesus was there. I could hear him saying, "Brock, come here. Let me show you heaven." I could sense him standing there to my front right. I could sense his hand waving before me. I had a dim view of something before me. It was land and sky. This was not capturing all of my attention, but oddly enough, the darkness behind me was. I didn't think to look back and study the darkness because all of this was all rapidly forming into thoughts within my mind. But I sensed darkness behind me and light before me. Was I at the outskirts of heaven? Jesus said, "Would you like me to show you heaven? I'd like you to come with me. Are you ready?" I was hearing him say this, and yet I was still thinking in my head, "It's just me. Is this me imagining this? Is it truly happening? You're speaking to me, Lord?" I was just starting to enter in, and it was as if the more I tried to focus in, it was clear. If I decided to take my mind away from this, details would dim away. I could sense Jesus smiling in an understanding way. His thoughts were in me. He knew I couldn't see anything. I just heard him whisper, "Come with me and I'll show you heaven. I've got much to show you." Get ready. This book should cause you to have frequent moments of discovery about your Heavenly Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the host of His creation. My advice to you is to take this moment to eliminate all your distractions. Give yourself enough time to hear the Lord talk to you throughout these pages. Don't treat this as a typical novel, do-it-yourself, or self-help book. Ask the Lord to speak to you and renew your mind. Ask Him to conform you into His image. The days are short. The time is at hand. The end is here. We are living in the final days, and judgment is upon the world. Wow, I didn't know he said that. We are seeing prophecies fulfilled every day. It is coming. The day you will have to choose martyrdom or compromise. Whoa! I did not know Brock said this. You will either join the ranks of the comfortable and cowardly, or stand on the streets of gold and walk by Jesus in His glory. Can y'all believe that after what I just talked about? Is this confirmation or what? Please, I am asking you as a friend and a brother, allow me to walk you through my experience with Jesus in heaven. All I ask is that you keep a few thoughts within the forefront of your mind. I am just a brother, and anything I can do, you can do as well. Any experience I've had, that's the way I feel too when I'm talking to you guys. Anything y'all hear me that I've done, you know, that's what I was saying about my White House job. You know, that was all that was just me giving God a yes and going through all my suffering and dying. Because you're always dying because of your suffering and the rejection of your church and your friends and your family. It's a continual death. Because your flesh will want to rise up whenever you're rejected or you see them doing things that you know they shouldn't be doing, but you don't want to participate in it. It is a death because you're having to die to God's will over your own flesh. It's a hard thing. I have seen it in my lifetime, you know, where people will turn around and go back to the vomit because they cannot stand the rejection. The rejection is a very real hard thing because the people, you know, they look so happy, you know, and it's because they're happy in their stupor. They don't see the real truth. Or they have chosen the wrong path. And it is good to the flesh. Because, of course, you know, the wide road is the funner road. You know, the very narrow road is very troublesome. This book is not for sale online. When I go see him, I think he's got another case of these. I'm going to ask him if I can have one from him. I sold out of the ones that I had. But this book is called Heaven Awaits Your Expression. Okay, so let's get back to the book here. He says, do not think any more highly of me than you ought to think. The mind-blowing displays of God's glory is not just for my eyes only. You too will see all that I have seen. I am not special, and the only one privileged to see these things. Your day is coming soon. You too will stand with Jesus. You will see his eyes. You too will experience the awe and dread of falling down before God Almighty. There is no respecter of persons with him. If he will do this with me, then he can do this with any believer who desires the same. I pray that you will open your eyes and your heart to experience the colors of heaven with me. So let's begin. Fitting for this moment is a song my mom, Dr. June Knight, always sings. Aww! I haven't read this book, y'all. I'm going to have to sing the song that he has in this book. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. As I look upon his face, I sang this last night, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Mm-hmm. One other thing I want to say about President Trump. You know how last night I was telling you guys on that one video I have about the Garden of Eden where you mail in your cards. I put in there, I said, now, Bride, you know the beast is probably going to shut me down real soon, so you got to get these cards to me. Well, I told the bride last night on my goodbye night, I said, I am so happy to report to you guys that it was not the beast that shut me down. It was God. He started it, and he ended it. And it just makes me so proud that I did not go out of here defeated. That my God is the one that controls the entrance and the exit of that ministry. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, but Bride, I've got to ask your permission. I know it's already 8:30. I would love, because my head is in this book. Let me see how big his chapter is. I was going to say, I'd love to read. I don't know if I can read the whole thing, but I just want to read a little bit about, he talks about the colors of heaven. I want to see how he describes it. Y'all let me know in the chat, yes or no. If not, because I know you guys, I probably shouldn't, to give you guys, you know, time to talk. But I am kind of wanting to know the colors. It was colors, clouds of glory, all in a white blaze from the center and pulsating outward. Leslie's like, go! Brock, take my hand and let me take you into that water. At this point, I was seemingly distracted with the realities of Jesus speaking to me. He described what was in front of me as water. I wasn't sure if it was a veil, an entrance. I'm not sure. I was only seeing dimly. All I could process mentally about my environment was coming in slowly. I could make out vaguely the light, a sky, something like water, and what seemed to be people before me. Behind me was nothing but pure darkness. I felt like I was at the very edge of heaven. Or was I? I did what was told of me. I reached out. I felt his hand. Wow. I could feel. I could sense emotion inside me slightly. Okay, this is getting clear. I followed silently forward at the hand of Jesus. I started to see some appearance of light ahead and what looked like a pool of sparkling, energized, fizzing water. I just tried to will my eyes to see more. I can just imagine if it was me and Jesus, I'd be doing the same thing. Well, I was thinking about that, Becky. I am recording this, so maybe if we read this book, it'll all be recorded, huh? Okay, so he's telling his eyes, I want to see more. I'd be saying the same thing. I was thinking, come on, eyes, see. Look further. I want to see the clouds of heaven. What was the throne like? What would the colors around the throne look like? Is this happening? Oh, please let me see heaven. I bet. All these thoughts were instantly, simultaneously coming through my mind. Within the same second of thought, I began to remember that I was with Jesus. I started to turn and look at him. Oh, I get to see Jesus. What? Oh, is this only my mind? Is this my imagination? I was turning my eyes to Jesus, and there he was. He was hard to make out. Now I'm really thinking that my eyes need to see. I need to focus my eyes on his face. I want to see. But my eyes were only seeing his hand and arm. I knew his person was there, but all else was dimmed but the arm of Jesus. At this time, we made it to the edge of this water. It was the slowing and peaceful swirl of a stream that somehow pulled up into a perfect active belly of deep swimming area. It reminded me of a swimming hole from the creeks I swam in as a child growing up in the country hills of Tennessee. Amen. I was on a walkway. This walkway was leading right into the pool of water created by the sparkling stream. I couldn't make out the stream's details because of the dimming of my eyes, but I could see a measure of pretty light coming through. Aww. I could not see details well past the water either. I could make out within the light, I was seeing that the pathway we were walking on was continuing forward into the water. A detail not noticed earlier, the path wasn't grass anymore. It was an orangish color. Hold up. Gold straight out of the water, pooling peacefully in a gentle swirl, was a pure, smooth, polished, golden pathway. What? Not bricks. I always thought it was bricks. Not slabs. One solid paved gold sheet. Oh! Oh, man, no kidding. It was like a solid row of gold rolled out as a pathway. It began to register. I am truly with Jesus. Now, even though the gold was beautiful, I was brought back to the moment. Jesus was stepping into the water. Oh, my goodness. I noticed part of his robe was coming into my vision. It was pure white. I saw a glimpse of gold clothing. Clothing made of gold. I have never seen that on earth. Bride, do y'all remember my vision that God gave me when I was in the desert and I was laying down in the desert and God sent the army to me? Remember that vision? And the army came to me with the horses and chariots. And then I was dying there in the desert and I was all, my lips were crackly and everything where I was dehydrated. I heard these horses coming. It was like, and I looked up and I'm like, what is this? It's like as far as I could see, horses and chariots. Well, they come in, they slid into me, So the dust, I covered my eyes. When I opened my eyes, they was in a semicircle around me. And then I looked up, and the horse I was looking at was like a human. It was different. It was massive. It was mighty. It was muscular. And it had, it looked like it was on a mission, like it had a job to do. And then the guy on the chariot had a spear and a bow and arrow, and his armor was made of gold. And then I looked to the center, and there was a big chariot. And those horses were beautiful, pearly white. They were bigger than the other horses. And then on this chariot was beautiful, beautiful gold. This chariot, there was Jesus on there. He had a white robe on, and his face was nothing but light. And I was laying there on the ground looking at all this, and I'm like, whoa, Jesus just came to me. My Savior came, because I was dying. So Jesus gets off the chariot, and as he's walking towards me, I'm like, oh, it was like I was getting this life in my lungs, and my cells were reacting to his presence, and he was, and the closer he got to me, my cells were jumping for joy. It was like my body was having revival just from his presence. And then he reached down and he grabbed my hand, and when he touched me, it was like through my body like lightning. It was like fire rushing in my bones, because it was like everything in me, every part of every matter that was in me reacted to him. And it was like restoration to the bone, man. And it was like, as he was standing me up, you know, because when I was on the ground, it was like I was homeless, I was fat, I was, you know, had raggedy clothes on. I was dying. But when he stood me up, I went skinny. My dress went to solid gold. My hair went up into a poof, and a tiara come down from heaven and rested on my head. And then I stood up, I felt strong, I felt young. You know, I was restored, everything in my being was restored. And I'm looking out at this army of horses and chariots that were as far as my eye could see. And I looked in the chariot, and there was barrels of oil. And I looked at Jesus, I said, what do I need with all this oil? And he said, help my people. And he went and raptured out and left me with all this oil, all this army. I have no idea what I'm doing. I didn't say nothing, because they all knew what to do. They split right down the middle. Well, all the army on the left side all went over there, you know, and militarily got behind me. All of them to the right went over there, military. So I looked over to the left, and those soldiers in the front of the army, and they all looked at me like, bam. I looked over there to the right, and all of them in the front looked at me like, bam, say the word, woman. So it was like, you know, me playing softball when I was younger. I reached back like this, you know, and I went, charge, because now I was on a chariot. I was like, charge, you know. And so that, when he said that about, he saw a heavenly dress. I am about to, I'm about to scream in here, bride, let me tell you. Because what did God tell me on that 3-day fast a couple of weeks ago? You are being, or a dream. No, it was a dream. He said, you are being advanced from an ambassador to the natural government, and then ambassador from the natural government back to my people, to an ambassador of my government, and then from my government back to the people. Well, look what Brock says right here. There is a gold dress, baby, but that dress ain't down here, is it? When Jesus reached down and grabbed me, I am rising up in that heavenly anointing. That this was meant for now, bride, is what I'm trying to tell you. It is meant for now. Rising me up, that gown is coming on. That gold heavenly anointing from heaven. That's what God said. I'm going to begin to show you heavenly instructions and show you the heavenly government and what is happening. Isn't that amazing? So this army is just God saying he is sending us help. We are not alone. We have more that is for us than is against us. Woo! I'm excited about this gold grant, gold gown. So let's go back. Now that you know this, let me reread this. All right. Woo! Okay. Now, even the gold was beautiful. I was brought back to the moment Jesus was stepping into the water. I noticed part of his robe was coming into my vision. It was pure white. I saw a glimpse of gold clothing. Clothing made of gold. I have never seen that on the earth. Okay, maybe I am in heaven. Yeah. I'm becoming convinced now. I decided to continue on with this. It seemed as though I was imagining this myself at first, but quickly I realized that he was bringing me into seeing heaven, and I committed to following him. I decided inwardly I was not letting go of this. I was going to sit right here and stare continuously at the same spot at the Christmas tree and follow every single bit of this. In other words, focus, focus. Jesus stepped in and stepped again. His robe was fascinating me now. Is it getting wet? It wasn't exactly moving to my expectations. It reacted differently to the water. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? The water was completely energized. Well, it reminds me of when Jesus touched me and I told you how it was like a through my body. A fire of energy bolt. You know, did y'all know that when the storms come in the natural earth, when we, you know, I'm not talking about what they do. I'm talking about the natural from God when we have thunder and lightning. Did you know that it energizes the earth? It sure does. Okay, as I was watching and noticing details, I tried to look down to watch where I was stepping. With all of my experience of walking in creeks, I have been so aware of rocks jarring my feet and sharp pains, cuts, and scrapes. I wasn't allowed to see. I just saw my foot in the water. My next thought was, oh, this water is freezing all over my foot and leg. It's massaging me. No way. The water is alive in heaven. That is so cool. Oh, this feels wonderful. This water wasn't clouding up with algae, dirt, or any disturbance at all. Cool. I could see the water dancing, swirling, and rippling outward like I expected it to, just differently. The ripples were dancing outwardly. The water was beautiful. It was so clear. It was clearer than glass. It was way more than crystal clear. Wow, I just can't imagine. And beyond my experience on earth. It seemed as though it was not capable of being dirty at all. Wow. This was different than Earth. I've never seen such beautiful water. There seems to be gold underneath. Okay, that makes sense. The gold from the path is continuing through the water. Wow, wow. I cannot believe how much I could think in such a split second of time. Isn't that something? Jesus and I peacefully walked in. Out into the center of the pool, I was noticing more details. We were heading in the direction toward what seemed to be heaven, which is the most obvious conclusion I could come up with. Brilliant, I laughed to myself. I wheeled my eyes to see across the water again. What was over there? Nothing was clear to my eyes, but an inward knowledge of what was behind. I knew there was a city beyond what I could see currently. Mountains behind it, trees, light, clouds. Oh, I wanted to see. Something else dawned on me. Actually, someone. Standing on the other side of the stream on the pathway were two figures. I could see them standing dimly at attention with their arms folded across their chest. What? No kidding. They waited for me. Were they somebody I knew? All of these thoughts stopped. I was in the moment with Jesus. He said, Brock, this is the water that allows you to see what you want to see. This is what I must do. You cannot go forward until you are brought through with this water. He took me as if baptizing me. Oh, I was facing the two beings in front of me, the city of God before me and Jesus to my right. He placed one hand on my chest and one on top of my head, and he took me under going forward. Wow. That means a lot to me because I don't know if Tracy's in here, but when we baptized her and when me and Dennis both got baptized, we got baptized forward, you know. I was in the water. The energy of the water woke me up. Not a cold, chilled effect like I am used to on Earth. It was human warmth. The water felt like an embrace. It felt like a hug of energized refreshment to my spirit, soul, and body. So fresh. Fresh was the thought coming to me. It instantly felt like morning air. I just want to pause here and make a comment. When you drink really good water, like spring water, it is like that. It is like a fresh taste on your palate. It's not a heaviness. There is a difference of really good, fresh water than like city water, you know, that's polluted basically. It's very, very fresh. Okay, it instantly felt like morning air. Morning fresh air right there under the water. Perhaps it breathes and is full of oxygen. I don't know. I just know that I felt like I'm deep in the depth of untouched wilderness. Wow! I'm feeling the most refreshing, soul-awakening, mountain-crisp air within this water. That is, I can't even imagine. Jesus held me there a few moments. Oh, I didn't want to leave the water. I instantly thought of what it will be like when I come out of the water. I need to wipe my eyes is my thought now. I have contacts. My contacts will come loose and come out in the water. I said to myself, wait, my eyes are open. Open underwater. I knew that opening my eyes underwater with my contacts is bad. My contacts are done, gone. But that wasn't the case at all. How silly of me. I have no need of contacts in heaven. I came up from the water next. I was instantly out of the water and standing up in the golden walkway. I looked over to my right and I saw grass. Unimaginably green grass. Green, green. Light green with LED lights embedded within the grass. It was registering. It was as if the landscaping had lights embedded in each plant. Aww. I looked then to the right and behind me. There was the water. It was like the sun was shining at a perfect angle, and the light was reflecting off the sparkling water surface right into my eyes. My head reacted, and my eyes widened. It was as if my eyes were taking in more light than ever. My eyes! Can y'all imagine? See, this is what I was telling you about the beast. We've got to get our eyes off the beast. You know, last night, on my last night on YouTube, I told everybody, my eyes got to see the White House. My eyes got to sit in there, got to see and peer into what is happening in the White House. God opened that door for my eyes to see the truth. And see, here's the key. What you do with what your eyes see, you will be judged. I could have easily, because they did try to bribe me, not the White House, but, you know, people up there, to sink me into their pit. They tried to pull me in and offer me. They wanted me to quit my ministry, leave you guys, and they was going to start me a whole nother media corporation. Oh, yes, they was going to supply me with all of my equipment. I mean, it was a very tempting offer at first. But then I realized, nope, I'm just going to trust the Lord and suffer. And that's what happened. But anyway, okay, so I looked then to the right behind me, and there was water. It was like the sun was shining at a perfect angle, and the light was reflecting off the sparkling water surface right into my eyes. My head reacted and my eyes widened. It was as if I was taking in more light than ever. My eyes. I was startled. I turned quickly to see if my eyes were working. I was oblivious to all standing around me. I opened my eyes and looked around me. I looked back towards the brightest of all the light. Before me, as if I was perhaps 100 miles away and yet close, was what I was desiring to see all my life. I would spend hours reading Isaiah's visions of the throne, Ezekiel, Jesus' transfiguration, John's descriptions in the book of Revelation, the Gospels, Moses' experiences in the Torah, etc. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Brock. I know that's true. I know that is true because when he was a little boy, he used to, you know, be in his room praying on his face for hours. I mean, like 8 or 10 hours a day, you know. He memorized the Word of God. He is a walking Bible. He is, you know, ever since he was a kid. So I know what he's saying right here is true. I've always wanted to see this. Oh, the emotion welling up inside of me. I was in shock and just giddy with an unmatched feeling of privilege that I have never experienced. I looked up and I saw glimmering clouds. I think they were clouds. I could make out the movement of the clouds. It looked like clouds. I started to roll through the catalog of descriptive pictures, all of my earthly words and knowledge. What could describe these clouds? How do I describe what I am seeing? I was stopped. Everything seemed to stop. I was not able to think. I just had one thought at a time. I was zapped of all other life and activity around me. All I could hear was the word color in my mind. I was starstruck. I bet that'd be hard to describe, you know. Yay, that's the best word I can say at this very moment. Oh, the color. It was colors, clouds of glory. All in a white blaze from the center and pulsating outward. Wow. It was almost what looked like bursts and streams and waves and rings and clouds. What looked like the most beautiful star I've ever seen. Wow. I just can't even imagine. I can only explain it looking like a nebulous star or a supernova image that you can find from NASA. The Hubble telescope type of images. Google it. Look up nebula, supernova, or the birthing, dying of a star. The explosion of a star, that's close to what I was seeing. It was some radiant bursting brightness. It seems to have the effect of imploding energy. Explosive, consuming, ferocious energy. Isn't that beautiful? I just let my eyes rest on the bursting, on the brightest of lights I've ever seen. Oh, it was like lightning white. It was only bearable to look at because of the dust of the color around him. It was certainly the throne of God. What? He's looking at the throne of God. What? Wait, that wasn't the throne. That was him. Oh! No way. No way. It was certainly the throne of God. Wait, it wasn't the throne. It was him. I couldn't see the throne at all. All I could see was the brightness in the center, the rings of colorful glory waves flowing outward. He was the greatest sight I've ever beheld. Oh, it was so beautiful. I could discern similarities to that of a colorful galaxy. It reminded me of how some galaxies swirl, like that of a hurricane or the tops of clouds of a tornado. My brain was firing on so many levels. Everything I beheld was being processed with information I've acquired through my whole life. I was seeing nanosecond videos, pictures, thoughts, explanations, and scripture to fully understand everything I was looking at. I bet his mind was going a million miles an hour trying to figure this out, I bet. I was thinking rapidly and sharply in the most impressive quickness. Perhaps this is how our minds work in heaven. I had the Ezekiel 1:4 King James Version scripture flowing through my understanding. See, that's what I mean by him memorizing scripture. And I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. I was looking at the glory of Almighty God, and the revelation blowing up in my new heavenly mind was overwhelming me. Wow, wow, wow. Whew, I am just blown away right now. How can I put him into words? Lord, help me. His person wasn't completely in front of me where I was looking from. I have cried so many tears this morning. I'm glad I ain't got my eyes on. Oh, man. I could just tell from some internal knowing that there was mountain of sorts. Was God the mountain? Oh, I always knew that God was on top of the mountain, but I never thought, huh, is he the mountain? Ah, that is awesome. Well, I couldn't tell. He was, as I would imagine, the largest sun in any galaxy or universe out there in the cosmos. I'm talking about a sun. He has to be the largest of suns. Wow! Perhaps I was more than hundreds of thousands of miles away. First of all, how could I determine distance like that? Wow, this is beyond me. Because remember, God is spirit, see? He was what I would imagine it would look like to be beholding the birthing of a sun star. The energy pulsating from all the fusion of many, many stars, lights, and whatever gases are mixing to make stars. The clouds of dust or glory that radiate so much color was no doubt the effect of his radiant energy. Scientifically, I think he must have some kind of dynamic fusion going on. Oh, I can't describe it with the right quantum terminology. I bet. You know what's so funny, ain't hardly none of you left this call. Y'all must be enjoying it as much as I am. Dawn says she wishes she could see me right now. Dawn, I can put it on, but I bet I look rough. Hold on, I'll turn the camera on. I don't know how it works. Where you see me? Can you see now? You can see me? I can't see myself, so I don't know what it looks like. But anyway, let's continue. I'm over here all snotty. All right. but in that split second, he said, I'm not a scientist at all. But in that split second, the miracle of being able to use my whole mind's processing abilities was just unbelievable. But listen to that beautiful bird outside. Oh, thank you, Alma. But the star of all stars, the sun in brightness that has birthed all existing stars, he himself was a galaxy before my eyes. Wow. I just can't imagine what he really looks like. What a way to describe him, man. But in that split second, the miracle of being able to use my whole mind's processing abilities was just unbelievable. I bet. But the star of all stars, the sun in brightness that has birthed all existing stars. You know, I just got to tell y'all something. Now, this is something between me and the Lord. It's going to sound so funny, but I'm just going to have to tell you. Now, all my years of travel, I've had this relationship with the Lord. I tell you about his face shining on me and stuff. That is the sun. I know that he's not the sun, but I just feel him shining on me like a sun. I don't know how to explain it except sometimes, like when I walk outside, you know, I'll feel that sun on me and I'll say, good morning, Lord, you know. But the star of all stars, the sun in brightness that has birthed all existing stars, he himself was a galaxy before my eyes. He was his own nebula of light, radiating colors beyond my description. The colors were so beyond our world that I gawked and gazed at the clouds. Wow. And particles of what looked like a brilliant display of many stars scattered throughout the sky. I just can't imagine. What is the picture in the background of? Which one? That up there is me at the White House up there. This one is all of my passes, my credentials from the White House. The sky was so brilliant. There was no nighttime star-filled skies on the planet Earth quite like these. But yet it was close to the same thing. This was so magnificent. The wonder it all had me in. I was so captured by the endless amount of detail to take in. The one sparkling... I don't know. That's me graduating from college, graduation from college, my who's who deal. This one is me on the General Jackson. I used to work for an Opryland hotel. And they owned the General Jackson. So that was me on a trip on the General, when I was working on the General Jackson. And this one is my very first conference with We Are the Bride back in 2020. Okay, so going back to the book, let's see here. The sky was so brilliant. Oh, I read that. Okay. The wonder it all had me in. I was captured by the endless amount of detail to take it in. Then it hit me. My eyes, the light. I can see all these colors. Lord, I can see the light. This is heaven. That's the throne of God. Or I'm seeing God, the Father from here. I can see him. The water, it changed my eyes. I can see the sky. Also, when Jesus baptized him, it helped him to be able to see. Wow. What picture is sparkling? Y'all are funny looking at my background. What a farce. Which picture is sparkling behind me? My graduation picture? Or the graduating one? All right, so I can see the sun setting. Wait, I stopped to reconsider what this would be called in heaven. I tried to be more accurate and tried again, saying, I can see his light reflecting on everything. There is no sun sets in heaven. There is just a constant, eternal, colorful sunset effect on the sky. Well, this kind of reminds me of what Jesus says. That is from my ceiling fan, what y'all are seeing. I see now. That's my ceiling fan, a reflection. What he's talking about is when we have the New Jerusalem comes down after the Battle of Armageddon, we come back with Jesus, on the white horse, and, we're fighting all these devils, and Jesus, does his battle with the beast and whatnot. Well, then the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. And we, the ones that live right now, will die martyrdom. We get to be kings and priests in that city. We will live again. And we will be kings and priests. And we will get to see all this every day. Because we will now be in God in that city. It's going to be amazing. Okay. Imagine the most beautiful sunset you've ever seen. Now, remember all the hues of colors, the orange, purple, blues, reds, pinks, etc., all mixed into one beautiful painting in the sky. That is close to what it's like into the skies of heaven. I really can't imagine how beautiful this is in heaven because, I've seen some beautiful skies, but Dennis has pointed out, that's all chemtrails. Let me turn this off. I'm getting hot. That's all chemtrails. But I still can't imagine, what it's really going to be like and beautiful. I'm almost finished, and then I'll open up the lines. Let's see how far I got to go till I get done with this chapter. Yeah, I'm only halfway through this chapter, so I'm going to stop in a minute. Now, remember all the hues of colors, orange, blues, reds, the pinks, all mixed into one beautiful painting in the sky. That is close to what it's like in the skies of heaven. It must have been the Spirit of God inside me bearing witness to everything that I was seeing. I was having scriptures flowing in my mind. A few remain strong through the whole time I was there. Psalm 97:6, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Ain't that beautiful? Psalm 8:1 and 3:4, who has set thy glory above the heavens? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Amen. And the Son of Man that you have visited him. Amen. All right, Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. 1 Timothy 6:16. Who only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom he be honor and power and everlasting forever. I continued to process what I was seeing. This was what looked like a mountain where the Father was radiating. It was seemingly a small slope upward towards the center. I don't know how I knew he was at the center, I just did. It was only a gentle slope that went up from there. I was all the way to the thundering area in the center. It seemed like the golden path I was on led straight to the throne of God. Wow! My eyes were amazing. I could see all of this. I didn't need glasses or contacts like I had on Earth. My eyes seemed to gauge distance, zoom in, and basically see what I wanted to see and see how close I wanted to as well. I was able to see up close to the Father's light. I could make out some walls that seemed many miles high. I perceived to be what could only be the temple before the Father and Jesus' thrones. I saw the most magnificent walls. These walls looked like no other on the earth. These walls were what could only be processed by my mind as many miles high, possibly one solid stone, and made of the rarest gems, gold, granite, marble-looking stone. Wow! Woo! One big stone, huh? The wall had these huge sections. Oh, wait a minute. Let me mess this. See. I'm telling you this. I'm not an expert on stones, gems, and precious metals, but with my eyes, I could see that it was all that we had on earth and more mixed together to make what seemed to be one solid slab for miles high. Woo! And an untold number of miles long. I can't explain that at all. But what I can tell you is this, that wall screams loud in my knowing as security. It was clear that you cannot go past that wall without permission. Wow. The wall was the police. The wall was the guard. The wall was alive. Remember what I told you guys about when the horses came to me, the horses and chariots, how the horses, they looked alive. You know, they looked like humans. It was like that. But one thing that God is revealing to us is the identity, is that heaven awaits your expression. See, every one of us have an expression. That wall has an expression. That wall has a duty from God to do. Remember Peter, the story of Peter, when the gate opened up of its own? It means that the gate had a duty to do by God, so the gate opened up. Remember when the chains fell off of Peter's hands? The chains had a job to do and the chains fell off. This is what we have to know. All matter in this universe answers to God. All matter. And even ourselves, all matter answers to God. So if we only knew who we was, Brian. Amen. Whew. So I see that as this wall knew who he was and he had a job to do and he had to protect God Almighty. That is so, I never knew this. Okay. What caught my eye as well were the trees surrounding that particular wall. Trees that were thousands of feet tall. That is awesome. I'd like to draw a visual on Canva of what this looks like. Okay. Trees and vines that seemed to grow with the wall. It looked so ancient and created to be the landscape around the wall. Aww. The wall had these huge sections where water was flowing through it and around it. Wow, water was flowing through the wall. Wow. That is so cool. Oh, I wheeled my eyes to see the details. All of this is happening in the shortest of time. I couldn't take in the details. I wanted to follow the water, though. I looked up and I followed the most beautiful of rivers, waterfalls, and perfectly landscaped water flowing down from stones to stones, and every plant life you can imagine growing amongst the waters. Wow! Oh, I've got to draw a visual of this. This is so amazing. This water seemed to be coming from the throne. That reminds me of a prophecy that God gave me in Niagara Falls, New York, when I prophesied about the judgment. And this is what God told me to say. Now that we know this, he said, angels, open up the gates, which now we know what that means, to the crystal clear waters from the throne, and flood this nation from one end to the other of judgment. Purifying, cleaning, exposing. Yes. Wow. There really is water coming from the throne. Wow, wow, wow. I'm just in awe. I zoomed out to get a bigger picture, and there were rivers flowing out of the light up the mountain. There were rivers flowing out of the throne. It all seemed to come straight from the Father himself. Wow, wow, wow. I saw the rivers branch out and flow down past the walls, down into the forest, and then into what I could only describe as cities. I looked and saw the first sight of reflective light. The river was very wide at this point, and it seemed to be flowing directly into the middle of what was a city. Then I instantly gathered my vision and looked all around, and on the gentle slope down from the Father were cities, cities, and more cities. Wow! Ain't that amazing? I guess everybody that has a mansion is living in a certain city. Bright, I hope we all get to be in the same city, don't you? I hope we get to be in the same city. Wouldn't y'all like to be neighbors up there? Wouldn't y'all like to have a house next to each other? That'd be so cool. Then I instantly gathered my vision and looked around, and on the gentle slope down from the Father were cities, cities, and more cities. I had scriptures coming to me left and right. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's so beautiful. I'm writing that. I'm putting that on our website. I love it. Where is an ink pen around this place? Here we go. Oh, I've got to write this down. Hebrews 11:16. Whew, because we are not ashamed of our God. Hebrews 12:22-23. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I know that's what that means. God bringing that army to me on horses and chariots, that's all angels. These are angels that God is sending to us. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God and the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Bright, I just got to say this. Okay. God is going to begin to reveal to us heaven It's not by chance we're reading this book today. God is going to reveal to us who we really are. This is what I was wanting to do my first semester, was over our identity. Because we have to know who we are to go to the next level. Okay? So, with our understanding of the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God, and the power of His might, and our role in the earth, operating in that level of the spirit, that, you know, we're in a world that y'all people know not of. You know, you see this heavenly body, but really we're not even here. Wouldn't y'all like to be at that level to where we're not even here? You know, because it's going to, we know that it's going to get darker and darker and darker, right? So, when God is going to be filling us with light, 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 this is going to come from heaven. And this is what I believe God's going to do with us, is He's going to shift us out of this natural understanding of everything into a heavenly understanding, with revealing heaven and His glory and His power and His might and true, the truth of it. Not this false, new age, mystical, mystery Jesus. You know, it's not going to be any of that mixed with Kabbalah, Talmud, all that vomit. This is going to be a pure flow from the rivers of heaven. That's all we desire this morning. That rivers from heaven, from the throne, to come down into us so that we can do and be what God has called us to be with boldness and courage. I had a few people say last night what courage it took for me to do that last night. I couldn't within my own self at all. It takes the grace of God. That is what gives us the strength to be able to stand up and be separate and standing up for truth when nobody else out there believes you or even understands it. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven. Exactly. We're choosing not to celebrate, their global ID and their global identification that they're all celebrating because Trump has taken the throne. That is not the world we're in. That's not the world we're celebrating. We have a heavenly identity, a heavenly home, and that's where we're going. And that's what, I'm not going to sit out there with you and endorse anybody as my king. I'm not, I have one king. And look, it says right here, and from it, our citizenship in heaven awaits a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my Savior. There was so much light reflecting from these cities that I had to individually take effort to zoom into each one. I had to do this one at a time in order to, in order to see. Yes, I was able to do all this in such a short time. The mind I had in heaven would make Einstein and all the superheroes in Marvel movies look like babies. Wow. Quantum physics, huh? In heaven, you have the fullness of your brain. Down here, we only have like 1%, you know? I was aware that I was using what I believe is a glorified body, mind, eyes, etc. I was experiencing what we get to be like when we're in eternity with our glorified immortal body. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? I took in the details of the first city. At first, I was taking it in as a small town, like we would see in the country area. It was surrounded by trees, and it had a river flowing right down to the middle of the city. I then pierced inward to see what I wanted to see, and I had details flooding my mind. I could sense that the rivers was at least a couple of miles wide going through the city. The roads were on both sides of the river, and each of them were probably a mile wide each. Wow. Psalm 46, 4 through 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, so shall she not be moved. There is the most beautiful display of every kind of tree lining the river. Wow, I bet that was beautiful. I could see so many different trees flashing before my mind instantly. I was immediately understanding all the details of the trees. The fruit, the leaves, the heights, the pleasure from eating them, etc. Oh my, this was already too much to take in. Oh, I was having so much insight flooding into me. Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Seriously, I was seeing some trees that had fruit that looked like diamonds. Oh, Lord, grow us some diamonds, Lord. Grow us some diamonds. That is funny. Some leaves were what I will guess to be crystal, glass, or some kind of transparent see-through material. Oh, it was a sight to see. The trees were cascading over the river. Oh, I bet that was beautiful. These trees were eternity old. Oh, I can't wait to see these trees. Oh, I love trees. I loved it when I was in California and saw the big redwood trees. Oh, so amazing. They were ancient trees whose branches were horizontally over the water. Some trees had roots that went in the water, come up out of the water, and had several trees growing up out of the root that surfaced. Wow, boy, they could preach. Wow, wow, wow. The trees themselves have intertwined themselves like a woven fabric all through the river. The water was beautiful. There were people everywhere in the river. Believe this one. There were people in the trees. I bet. I mean, I could see kids up in the trees. It was like the trees was one of the greatest attractions for the kids to visit. Kids were everywhere. Wow. They were running on the branches that spanned across the river. I saw some groups of kids racing across the river on those branches, and they were laughing so loud. They were screaming in fun and running so fast. They were faster than jaguars in the Amazon. Wow. They were running, and then, oh my God, they ran and drove off a portion of the branches. They were something like 100 feet or more above the river. They all dove off in a fun frenzy. Wait, that wasn't exactly diving. They were flipping, gliding, spinning, and belly flopping. That is so funny. And straight up flying out over the water. These kids look like what I remembered in a documentary on Netflix where all the birds dive into the water and go fishing. These kids all darted into the water so fast and effortlessly. And that was it. They were gone. Wow. I waited a moment to see them all come back to the water's surface, but they never come back. I was willing my mind to know more about the kids. I was really eager to know how. I could feel the spirit inside of me bringing the knowledge to my mind. The kids were under the water swimming and racing underneath as well. Do what? The kids could breathe underwater. Wow. Swim, fly, and play underwater too. Wow. These kids would play games all through the trees, in the sky, down underneath the water, and could never get hurt. That is just wonderful. Oh, I wish my kids could be playing with these kids. I bet. I wanted deeply to see my own kids playing, singing, laughing, and chasing one another in this place. I resolved to make sure I was like Jesus and loving every kid I could. I knew Jesus was thinking of this place when he was blessing the little kids who came to him. Aww. He said, for such is the kingdom of heaven, Mark 10:14. Wow. He's talking about when Jesus was on the earth and he saw all the kids, why he was like he was with the kids. Aww. These kids seemed to be free to be kids there. They seemed to run and play, and all of the adults would celebrate them. They were cheering on by the bystanders. They were so loved. Well, I'm going to have to stop here, Brian. I'm going to mark this place because my throat is dry. Oh, this is so, so, so amazing. I just want to keep reading. But I can't. Okay, so we're going to stop here today. How'd y'all like Mama reading you that story? All right, so I'm going to stop the recording here. All right, I'm going to play this prophecy from Jeff Byerly that talks about what's coming, because I was just talking to Denise about Trump being assassinated. Now, he brings it up that he believes in this prophecy that it's all going to happen at once. And that's the way I think it's going to happen, because the Bible says in one day that it goes down. So I believe that we'll be hit by the earthquake and have some type of cyber attack happening, and then Trump will be assassinated, and, you know, everything hitting at once. And then we've had many prophecies that when it comes back up, whether it's 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months, okay, when it comes back and Trump will be there, it will be a different world. And this is where it will be over for us, because once they go down on a massive scale like that, it will be Web 3.0 on a stick. Because everything right now is kind of flirting with it, you know, which is why we're backing out of here and backing out of there, is because they're getting a little too close. But when this thing powers down and they power back up, it's going to be on steroids. It's going to be a beast that will be alive. This is where we have to throw our phones away, computers and everything. So anyways, let's listen to Jeff's prophecy right here. Hold on. Let me find it. Okay, here we go. It's only 5 minutes long.
America, I no longer fight for you or protect your military endeavors and conquests. You have had your way with the weaker nations of the world, but that is ending. There is no coincidence concerning the names of the ships, Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan. They will suffer the same fates as their namesakes. When you see this, you will know that all I have spoken is true, and that the complete destruction is coming to the once greatest nation of all. You have turned your back on me, your first love. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 17 is very near. It will no longer be inhabited as a city when this event comes to pass. It will become a ruinous heap. These events will run in parallel with what I have revealed about the kickoff event planned for America. Specifically in New York City, and even more specifically Manhattan, and Trump Tower will be involved. Your current king was brought into office to begin your judgment, but your former king shall return as the events proceed and finish it. He will oversee your destruction and then move on to his role as the leader of the Ten Kings. Barack Hussein Obama will be the flesh and blood manifestation of Satan on the earth. After the kickoff event, the highest idol America has will be taken down first, her wealth. Attempts will be made to prop the economy back up, but they will be unsuccessful. The fall of America will continue until it hits the absolute bottom. People will cry out for protection from the government and martial law will be declared. Most will cry and weep for the days of old, but they will never return. You are the last generation, and you are very close to the time of your revealing to the world. As I have told you before, my glory comes upon you as the destruction and cataclysm comes upon the whole earth. As soon as the kickoff event happens, we will be able to hear the Lord more clearly and with greater volume. Bankers and the wealthy know that this is coming because this is part of the New World Order plan to bring in the new financial system, which will be the beast system. Most will not understand that this has been all planned for years, and now the stage has been set and all the players are in place. War on America will come on every front and internally. In the coming days, the fire kickoff event will indeed take place. Prophecy will become tomorrow's headlines, even before the transformation of my bride. And if you're not ready, and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as your personal Lord and Savior, and do not delay. Today is the day of salvation. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Neither am I. Nobody is.
That is very good, huh? Yeah, now there is a couple of things I want to point out that he believes that I disagree with. Is he believes that Obama is the Antichrist. Okay, so of course I don't believe that. But he also believes that the 144,000 is us. I don't believe that either. I believe it's exactly the way the word says. So when he says the moment of transformation. Now, the thing that I think is maybe where they're misunderstanding it is that I do believe that the end time church is going to be like superpowers. I really believe that. To the ones that want it, I believe God is going to do the craziest miracles we've ever seen. I call them crazy, but wild. You know, I mean, where he may do is like Elijah and say, call fire out of heaven. You know, we're going to have to obey him and do this wild stuff, you know. But anyway, so he talked about New York, and I looked it up while he was talking. Okay, the two ships he's talking about is the Ronald Reagan and the Abraham Lincoln. Okay. I looked, and the Abraham Lincoln is still going. They said that was a false claim where somebody said that it was destroyed last week. It is still going. And then the Ronald Reagan, there is an article that said that it was sunk by a diesel submarine, but it's by a website I don't trust, and there's only one other one that goes near that. You would think if it was real, you know, that something this cataclysmic and the name that it has, the Ronald Reagan, would be front page of the news, you know. So I'm not too sure if it's went down yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I want y'all to hear this because there's a lady on the phone. I want you to tell them what you said your son says and what his career is. Say, start over.
Well, my son came over, and I was getting really emotional with a lot of the information that I was giving him. And I remember what you said, don't give too much because it's overwhelming. And he saw how emotional I was, and he says, Mom, he says, I know that this means a lot to you. So he gave me information on Sunday. He says, do you know that the digital ID is supposed to start in March? And what he does, he's not in a career of it, but I wished he would. He takes old computers and he remakes them. He revamps them.
Yeah.
And so, because he doesn't want the new stuff because the smart stuff is just too intrusive and he would talk about it. So his stuff, he's all on the ether cable. He doesn't have Wi-Fi, all of that. He just does hardware. And that's what he found out. He says, I put in keywords, and he says, the digital ID, what I have found out, is supposed to start rolling out in March. And we'll have our phones. We won't have wallets. And that's what they're saying, that's what they want to do, is in March, roll it out.
Well, so, let me tell you guys what is happening in March. When Trump gets in, they have this thing in the presidency they call 100 days. 100 days is a milestone that they go by whenever they first go in office. So during that 100 days, they mow it down. I mean, they sign so many documents. All of their big major moves that they want to make, major changes happen within that first 100 days. And look what that's going to happen before March, in other words.
Well, he listened to Aman Jabi, because Aman Jabi is here.
Yeah.
And he says what they're doing is, he says, there's no way. It's all set up. It just has to kind of like flip the switch. And it just goes into effect. And because, see, everybody, everything's set up. They just have to flip the switch. They just have to push the button. And people were asking Aman in Helena. They said, well, can't we do this? And he goes, no, it's too late. He says, you're trying to do all this stuff to skirt around it. And he says, it's too late. So when my son said that to me, it's all the stuff is set in place for everything to roll out. It's too late to try to change it. We should have done it way back when.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
And I mean, I was watching that part on my government TV on PBS, and I was just stunned, because what I was stunned at was the looks on the committee, all those senators and representatives' face. They just, it's like as if you have your oh my goodness moment. There's nothing, I can't, what have I done, or what haven't I done, type of moment.
Yeah.
And so that was it. And, of course, I had stuff that I needed to do, so I had to leave. And than when my son came over and told me that, because he'll look up certain things. He'll take key words and he'll look stuff up. And he goes, he says, I couldn't believe it. Because he was asking, he says, do you really believe certain things are going to happen when stuff is already beginning to roll out? So I just was stunned. I just went, wow, my son really, I mean, we don't realize what people listen to. We think that they're not listening, or we think that they're not getting the information.
Yeah.
But they are. And they're looking up key words.
Mm-hmm.
So That is awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to go get some more stuff for my window.
I forgot to finish my story this morning about the dream I had last night. Was about, I saw that our animals on the farm, oh, I did tell you a little bit, I just didn't tell you the details. What it was is the animals on the farm kept dying mysteriously. And I'm thinking, what is going on here with my animals, right? And then the Lord revealed to me, this is done by witches. This is an attack against you. So I saw myself, you know, praying around my property and stuff. So what I would like to ask y'all guys is if y'all would pray for our property here and, you know, come in agreement with us, you know, that because last night, you know, I really punched the devil right in the face with all that truth, you know. And so if y'all would pray for me on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you there, Mama June?
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we pray for your property's lot. We plead the blood.
Thank
for
you.
For the blood for your property and overall you guys, your animals and angels all around guarding you. And we will definitely agree
with
that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen.
So I guess that's all we have to say today.
Well, how did you like that letter to President George Washington last night?
Very good. You explained it right from start to finish. Exactly, the whole situation. So if anybody wants to hear it, quick, it's perfect.
Well, I thought it was neat where I was explaining to the president, he was the beginning of the country. And I told him a bird's eye view of a White House correspondent, what officially happened in the spirit and in the natural to the ending of our country. So that's really an honor to be able to do that. And then to think about how God had me do that back in 2008 over President Obama, you know, and then all the years later to do it with President Trump is pretty amazing.
It is. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to be part of it, too. Just to, you know, where we're at, you know, and how you experienced it, and to know you even. It's just amazing that God sent us. And we can
yes,
be a part
amen.
Of it. And we definitely want to be vessels for the Lord.
Yes, amen. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. God's already using y'all up there in Canada. I'm already excited when y'all get on these calls and you tell us about these people you meet and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that quite a bit. You know, with Amway, we learned how to do that. So we've been doing that for a long time. Winning souls for Christ because
that's cool.
We got trained through that. So this, maybe God, he prepared us then for now.
Yes.
So we have no problem doing that at all. We're not shy or nothing to talk to people. And we're used to, you know, getting rejected
that
and everything.
Cool.
We we've been doing a long time, so we just move on.
We don't have to get hardened to rejection. Not at all. When I got saved, I lost all my friends. So we know what that is. And Ardina, with her bigger family, of course, than mine, there's times they don't even want to see us. But then they get better. They come around little by little.
Yeah, they'll always phone us and, you know, contact us. So we think, well, I guess we didn't offend them too much.
Well, that's funny. That's good.
When you're talking with people out there in the public, it just the conversation usually always goes to, you know, troubles in their life and that, and then just opens the door for you to give your testimony, say, I've absolutely been there and know what you're saying, and this is why I turned to the Lord. And then it starts that conversation. You always guide the conversation to Jesus. If they're ready, then their eyes are more open and get them to read the Bible. That's one thing about our country. Anybody can get a Bible. Like, what's stopping you? That's all I did. I read the Bible and it convicted me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, we do have one more. We're going to scroll on down. Miss Diane, will you please forgive me? I skipped right over you. I apologize. Hello, sis.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, it's Carly.
Oh, hey, Carly. How you doing?
Good, good. I am shocked that I got on. I can't keep up with the time, and so I would always miss it. And so I said, I'm going to try it today. I probably missed it again, the call, but I said, I'm going to just listen in and see how, you know, this works, because this is my first time here, and I was so blessed.
Oh, well, welcome.
You know, and I was just my heart was just so touched last night with, and I don't even want to cry because I've been with you for a while, and you have blessed me so much. And, you know, to see the changes and to see everything happening and, you know, and then not only seeing it but talking about it at one point, and now we're here, you know.
I know,
and I've seen people come and go, and it seems like now you have a good group, you know, hanging on. And, you know, praying for you and Dennis, and just, you know, that's where I'm at now, is just really praying for people, my family, and trying to also not overwhelm them or bombard them. And when fear tries to come, you know, I just have to say, God, I put them in your hands, because, you know, you love your children, you know, and I have grandchildren that I help. And I just adore them. And so, you know, I do minister to my grandchildren because they're still young enough and they're not chewing me away. But, you know, I get really busy with them, and I help watch them and things. So I'm a busy grandma.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, but I'm just, you know, hanging in there, holding the fort here, and just, you know, trusting the Lord and not trying to live in fear or just worry, you know. Just when those things come, we have to just really learn how to release it right away, because it can get a grip on you, you know. And so, you know, listening to your programs and everything, and, you know, how convenient it was to have you on YouTube, and now it's like everything's changing, you know, and it's an adjustment, you know. This is an adjustment for us as well, you know. It's like something's being taken away from us, you know, and it's good, you know. And it's like we see things like that, you know, begin to happen, that we just have to clutch onto the Lord and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, because, you know, and I enjoy life, June. I like to still enjoy life, but at the same time, I like to stay focused, you know, no matter where I'm at. You know, I'm out here in California.
Yeah.
And being here, I mean, I hear a lot of things going on and around me, but it doesn't affect me, you know. And so I believe it's in Isaiah where it talks, we will see things, but it will not touch us, you know. And I really
yeah.
feel that here. I feel that here because there's so much, you know, so much going on in California. And I'm only... without traffic, 35 minutes away from downtown Los Angeles. You know, I live in the San Fernando Valley. And so, you know, I mean, a lot of things go on, but I'm for some reason, thank God, I'm not like in it or around it that much. Like, I would never want to live in L.A., you know. It's just that someplace, that's another world there, you know. But
yeah.
You know, just preparing and getting things that you can and, you know, things like that over here is, in, you know, trying to teach my family still, like, you know, every now and then I try to ask them, are they getting prepared? Are they getting water? Are they getting things, you know? Because, you know, if you can't drive no more, don't have a phone, you know, you have food, how are they going to get here, you know? So, so I have been trying to save things, you know, and I don't know why I'm sharing all this, Mama June, but, you know, I kind of want you to know what's going on my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
But, yeah, you know, it's a lot of changes taking place, and, you know.
Yes, it is.
It's
and people do hate change, I get it. You know,
yeah,
they do hate the change, but
yeah.
It's much better for us to be dealing with it now, you know.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's, you know, but it's a constant change, you know what I mean? I can handle change,
yes.
But this is like at every angle, every end, everywhere you look, it's a constant change, and I think that's the hard part. To adjust, you know what I mean? You know, I can deal with change. It's, you know, I know nothing stays the same, but this is like ongoing.
I know it because of the way that, you know, the beast is maneuvering the web. That's what's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, I didn't know this, or, you know, yeah.
And then, you know, you do, you know, find out things like later and, you know, yet when you talk to people, people aren't aware. So it's like, how am I going to know things I share with people? Like, you know, they're clueless. And I'm like, okay, to get into it, this has taken years. You can't do it within an hour. You know, so there's a lot going on, you know, here. Churches are the same. You can't go to church. It's not a safe place anymore. And so, you know, you have to connect with people who are like-minded, and there's not very many, you know. And it's just, you know, I just say stay focused on the Lord and, you know, keep that faith, you know. And you can see when your faith is challenged, you know, and it's like, God, I need you, you know, because it's hard, and our faith is going to be tested, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are to a new chapter and a new chapter with you as well, you and Dennis, you know.
And, yeah.
And, so it's like, yeah, I just do believe we got to pray for each other like never before, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but the good thing, you know, when you were on YouTube and, you know, people, you know, can get to it faster. Because I'm not, you know, computer savvy or anything like that, and you are like, you are like a genius. So I feel so elementary, you know. And
yeah.
You know, still, I try though. I keep trying, you know. And then, you know, some people are just so
proud. I'm proud of you on that.
And you know, I haven't worked, so things are just advancing and advancing. It's like by the time I learn something, they're on to something new. So you know,
I know.
It's,
man.
It's just trying to stay afloat and just really, and still have the peace and still have the joy of the Lord be your strength, you know, because, you
yeah.
know, it's not over till God says it's over. So, you know, you just one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Oh, and I
sweet
love it.
Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Well, it's
you
so nice to have
songs.
You with us.
You sing all the songs I grew up with, so I love it. You know, I can't listen to these modern Christian songs. You know, there was a while there
yeah.
I did because I was like you, caught up in NAR, and, you know, you showed me a lot about that. But I always had a question mark with them, and I always said, you know, because I used to go to the conferences, and I used to say, one thing I never see here, though, is love. There's no love here, you know. And you know, the Lord started opening my eyes, you know, and then I just started realizing something ain't right here. And then when you started sharing love, it just really, like, man, the lights went on, you know, because.
Well, you know, now that you think about it, what that is that fake. Fake synthetic religion they have is what that is.
Yeah. And then, you know, mm-hmm. I noticed too, and believe me, I've traveled everywhere to go to certain conferences and things like that. I saw a lot of these people, and I just saw them like, you know, like they were like the Jesus there. They were like the stars, and I just saw how people just would, you know, like cling to them. And I'm like, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? I don't hear about Jesus. You know? And, you know, so, you know,
yeah.
when you're following the Lord, you know, regardless, he's going to open your eyes and let you see things of what's taking place. And you have to say, no, this is not the true Jesus, you know. I stay with that scripture, you know, that if the elect could be deceived, you know, even the elect would be deceived, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
we really have to be watchful today. So, you know, and you know, we're from another kingdom, so we gotta watch the people that, you know, come around us, or, you know, like you were saying with the witchcraft, with your animals and things like that.
Yes,
you know,
it's a very serious thing in this hour, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because darkness is increasing and it's getting thicker. You know. And,
yeah.
What we have inside is going to be the only true light, you know, and so
it is.
We got to
yes.
get brighter, you know. We got to get
yeah.
brighter, and you know, just this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
I'm going to let it shine. Whoa, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
I sing this to my grandkids.
Oh, let it blow it out. Do what?
I sing all these songs to my grandkids, you know. You know, and I don't know if you know, the devil is a sly old fox.
No, but I've heard that.
Yeah, I sing that to them, and they just love for me. You know, my younger ones spend the night with me a lot, so I said, God, you know, maybe, you know, I can't preach to them like I'd want to, but, you know, these songs are going to stick with them. And so they love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... So, Mama June, I wanted to send you something, but I would be able to do it probably through your post office box.
Yeah, that's where we get our mail.
And then I also wanted to send a photo with a card of my family, you know, so it could be in your prayer
yes.
box.
Oh,
so
yes.
I will be doing that next week. And,
all right,
and
there
you know,
it's
a little something, you know, but I said, you know... the Lord's been putting that in my heart, and so I do, you know, want to send it. So I did do a screenshot of the P.O. box. you know, and so.
Here we are.
The end
yeah.
of the year. You know, it's just amazing how this
it's
year
is. It's going to go by pretty fast, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, totally fast. Yeah. It just, you can't keep up with it, you know?
I know.
It's like we're Monday and then it's Friday in the weekend and we're Monday again.
Yep. All right, girl, well, I'm going to get off here and I'm going to pray for you guys.
Okay. And you need to get some rest. Don't forget.
Yes, amen. Now, give me your name again. Carly, what is the initial?
My last name is Well, when I started, I did use my name, Diane. But my middle name is Carly, which I've been called all my life. And you know, so I'm like, I'm going to go by what my, it's on my birth certificate though, but yeah, it's Carly Romero.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, what state are you in, Carly?
California. I'm near Los Angeles, not in Los Angeles, but you know, it's not far.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I was there on the national tour.
In California.
I stayed there 10 days. Yes.
So you got
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I went, you know, back then I was in NARSA. Boy, I went to all that stuff. I went to Azusa Street and to the Four Square and went to the house where it all began. And,
right.
You know,
yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Oh,
you probably
so
went
excited.
To Reading to see Bill Johnson. Church.
That is what opened my eyes to. Yeah.
I never went, but I heard enough stuff to never want to go.
It was horrible.
Yeah. It's very different.
It is, Dawn. It is really cool that we have people in here from all over the world. Where is Stephanie? She was on here earlier. Y'all remember to pray for Stephanie. She's the one that has cancer, and she's it's been really bad. She's been battling chemo, going back and forth to the hospital, you know. And let's just all pray for her right now while we're thinking about it. Lord, we just pray for Stephanie right now. Lord, heal her body. I know her heart's desire is to get back out there in ministry, Lord. And we just rebuke the devil trying to steal her body and trying to steal her destiny in the name of Jesus. We all come together in agreement. Your word says when two or more agree is touching anything, that prayer will be answered. And we are standing on your word today that she will be rising up. She will take her place in the army of the living God and over there in the UK.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, she comes on here every day. And lately, I'd say for the past 2 weeks, she's so sick she can't even talk.
Oh,
yes. But you know, we're just gonna believe and stand with her and hold her arms up right now, you know.
Yes.
All right, so let me pray for all you guys. Lord, I just thank you so much for hearing all the good reports this morning, Lord. Just the hearts of your people, Lord, that understand the hour that we're in. And that understand their role in it. Lord, I'm honored to be in this army with them. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a glimpse into heaven today, Lord, through Brock. And it gives us a way in our heart that just really melts us, Lord. And we pray for Brock today. Lord, that you would rise him up as the mighty man of God you have called him to be, Lord. And every foul devil working against him to try to take away his destiny, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for fulfilling what you wanted to fulfill in that man. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, y'all have a good day, and I will talk to you later. God bless.